Alonso, Gonzalo, Sebastian, Antonio, and the others. Alonso. His villainous conduct towards Prospero. Alonso is the king of Naples, and we meet him first in the very opening scene when his ship has been caught in a storm and is in danger of sinking. As the danger increases with the increasing intensity of the storm, the passengers on board the ship lose all hope of surviving the danger which threatens them. Alonso then gets busy praying to God for mercy. Here we might get an impression that Alonso is a religious kind of man. But soon we shall learn the reality about him in the very next scene, that when Prospero gives to his daughter Miranda a detailed account of the misfortunes which had befallen him and her, we learn that Alonso had largely been responsible for those misfortunes. From Prospero's account, it appears that Alonso had been an inveterate enemy of Prospero and had helped Prospero's brother Antonio to drive out Prospero from his dukedom in return for Antonio's commitment to pay an annual tribute to Alonso and always to obey Alonso's wishes. Alonso had supported Antonio's treacherous plot to oust Prospero from power and to expose Prospero and his little daughter Miranda to all the dangers from the sea and the sky. Thus, Alonso is here painted in dark colors and he appears as a villain. His grief over the supposed death of his son. Subsequently, we find Alonso lamenting the fate which his son Ferdinand is believed to have met. Ferdinand, having been separated from Alonso and the others by Ariel's manipulations, Alonso thinks that Ferdinand had got drowned in the sea during the storm. He is therefore feeling deeply grieved. In fact, he is at this time feeling heartbroken. Gonzalo tries his utmost to console him in his misery, but is no condition to feel consoled. Gonzalo and also a lord by the name of Francisco do all they can to console and comfort Alonso. But Alonso remains disconsolate. In fact, Alonso feels irritated and annoyed by Gonzalo's efforts to comfort him. In this mood of irritation, Alonso thus reacts to Gonzalo's consolatory remarks. "You cram these words into my ears against the stomach of my sins. Would I had never married my daughter there for coming thence. My son is lost and my rate is true. She is who is so far from Italy removed. I never again shall see her." Alonso rebukes Gonzalo for pestering him with words of comfort when there is no evidence for the belief that Ferdinand is still alive. Alonso says that he has not only lost his son, but that he had lost his daughter also, because he had been married to the king of a distant country where he would not be able to visit her ever. He then expresses feelings that his son had probably been devoured by some strange fish in the ocean. When Francisco says that Ferdinand may yet be alive, Alonso replies, no, he is gone. Alonso then remains silent while all the members of his party keep talking to one another. Alonso takes absolutely no part in this conversation and in fact pays no attention at all to what the others are saying. He is completely lost in his grief. Sebastian and Antonio indifferent to what they say, nor does Alonso pay any attention to Gonzalo's description of his ideal commonwealth. A little later, Alonso falls asleep like several others of his party and wakes up only when Gonzalo sakes him. Unaware of the conspiracy against his life, Alonso is awakened from his sleep by Gonzalo, who has been awakened by Ariel singing a song in his ears. If Gonzalo had not been awakened by Ariel, Sebastian and Antonio would have killed both Alonso and Gonzalo in their sleep. The two conspirators then invent an excuse for having drawn their swords, and Alonso as well as Gonzalo accept this excuse because neither of them is aware of the true situation. Alonso has absolutely no suspicion about his brother's treachery and intentions, even though he feels surprised by the explanation given by Sebastian and Antonio. Alonso then little hope that Ferdinand is still alive. The continuous way working which this search involves has a very tiring effect on both Gonzalo and Alonso, who therefore suspend the search and sit down to rest. And now Alonso, having given up all hope of finding his son and express his state of mind, "Even here I will put up my hope and keep it no longer for my flatterer. He is drowned, whom thus we stray to find, and the sea mocks our frustrated search on land. Well, let him go, reminded of his crime by a harpy." Soon afterwards, Ariel invisibly begins to play solemn music, which surprises everybody, including Alonso, who says, "What harmony is this? My good friends hack." Then they are all surprised at the appearance of several strange shapes who bring a banquet and lay it before them. Alonso then expresses his amazement, saying, "He was a kind of kind keeper's Thebans." In fact, Alonso is now feeling sacred because the thieves, after laying the banquet before him and the others, disappear as mysteriously as they had appeared. Alonso then expresses his fear and his bewilderment in the following manner: "I cannot too much muse such shapes, such gesture, and such sound expression, although they warrant the use of tongue, a kind of excellent dumb discourse." Alonso means to say that although the shapes had not uttered a single word, had not spoken at all, yet they had conveyed their meaning by means of a kind of dumb show. Sebastian then suggests that they should start eating the feast which the strange shapes have left behind them. But Alonso is apprehensive of touching the feast, though moments later he changes his mind and says that he would certainly start eating, because the worst can happen to him by eating the feast would be death. However, as soon as he proceeds to eat the viands lying before him, the roar of thunder is heard and Ariel appears in the shape of a harpy and denounces the three sinners who had been responsible for the expulsion of Prospero from his dukedom. The terrible effect of the harpy's words on his mind. Alonso is unnerved by the harpy's threatening words, and after the harpy was vanished, he expresses his bewilderment and his fear by saying that the creature who had spoken to them must surely be a supernatural being. He says that it had seemed to be that the sea was speaking to him and reminding him of his crime. And that the thunder too was doing the same. Alonso further says that it now seems to him that his son Ferdinand is lying dead at the bottom of the ocean. Alonso also says that now he would go and search for his son's dead body in the depth of the ocean where it lies. This is how he expresses his feelings at this time. "Oh, it is monstrous, monstrous. Me thought the billows spoke and told me of it. The wind did sing it to me, and the thunder, the deep and dreadful organ pipe, pronounced the name of Prospero. It did buzz my trespass. Therefore, my son, I, the woods, is bedded, and I shall speak him deeper than ever plumpet sounded, and with him there lie more dead." Alonso now almost loses his mind and speaks in distracted manner. Then he sets out on another journey in search of his son's dead body, because now he has absolutely no hope at all for his son being alive. Rebuked by Prospero, delighted to find Ferdinand alive. Later in the play, Prospero himself confronts Alonso and his companions and administrators a harass. A harass reprimand to them for having deprived him of his dukedom and having conspired against his life and the life of his related daughter 12 years ago. When Prospero reveals his identity to them, Alonso doesn't believe that a real Prospero is standing before them all. Alonso therefore says that even though this Prospero doesn't seem to be the real Prospero, yet he is inclined to believe that he is really the original Prospero, because after seeing him, his senses, which he had lost, have returned to him. In other words, Alonso now feels that his sanity has returned to him. Alonso then begs Prospero's pardon for his past misdeeds. Prospero to tell the whole story of how he had arrived on this island. He also tells Prospero that he has lost his dear son Ferdinand. Prospero then takes all these men to his cell and shows them the pleasing sight of Ferdinand and Miranda playing chess. Alonso at first thinks that he is seeing only a vision and not something real. However, when Ferdinand rises to greet him, he does believe the evidence of his eyes and then expresses supreme joy by his reunion with his son and showers all his blessings on him. Alonso now wants to know the identity of the person who has been playing chess with Ferdinand. He asks whether she is a human being or a beauty or a goddess. Alonso asks this question because he has felt greatly struck by the beauty of Miranda. When Ferdinand explains to him that his maiden is Prospero's daughter and she has agreed to marry him, Alonso feels greatly pleased and he then offers his blessings to the affianced couple and the best wishes to them for a happy married life. Alonso's joy now knows no bounds and he has further cause for feeling pleased when the master ship and the boatswain also appears before him and report that the ship and the entire crew are safe and sound. Forgiven by Prospero. Alonso's crime against Prospero was unpardonable, but Prospero pardons him because Prospero has, during the first 12 years so, achieved a degree of wisdom which convinces him that forgiveness is nobler than the revenge. Prospero's wisdom has made a true sage of him, and of his main purpose in subduing his enemies was to make them realize the gravity of their crime and to make them repent of it. Alonso was certainly a villain who had aided another villain, namely Antonio, in ousting Prospero from his dukedom. But Alonso has now suffered greatly and had got the impression that Ferdinand had been drowned in the sea. The supposed death of Ferdinand had filled Alonso's heart with deepest imaginable sorrow. He had undergone the indesirable grief as a result of his belief that Ferdinand was dead. Sorrow had made him wiser, and on being denounced first by a harpy and then by Prospero himself, he has not only realized the seriousness of his crime against Prospero, but has also begun to repent of that crime. This repentance on his part yearns the forgiveness of Prospero. Then Gonzalo, sweet and his calmness in misfortune. We first meet Gonzalo in the very opening scene when Alonso's ship has been caught in a storm. And when it seems that the ship would go down onto the bottom of the sea, all those on board the ship are feeling worried and to the crew are making frantic efforts to save the ship. At this time, the lords attending upon the king Alonso turned to the boatswain and asked him what the chances of the ship's survival are. The boatswain has no time to attend to these lords, whereupon they all feel offended with him. The boatswain snuffs them for interfering with his duties, whereupon Gonzalo makes certain sarcastic remarks about the boatswain. Gonzalo says that the boatswain bears the marks of a man who can never drown, and who is doomed to die on the gallows. If the boatswain cannot drown, then the ship also cannot sink. And if the ship cannot sink, they are all safe. Thus, the boatswain's destiny, which is to meet his death by hanging and not by drowning, would be the means of survival of the ship and its passengers. Thus, Gonzalo here shows not only his wit, but also his capacity to face a possible catastrophe calmly with courage. His description of an ideal commonwealth. That we find Gonzalo's trying to offer comfort to Alonso's, who is feeling deeply grieved over the supposed death of his son Ferdinand. Here Gonzalo shows his loyalty to his king and his solicitude about the king's welfare. While Sebastian and Antonio feel absolutely unaffected by Alonso's grief, Gonzalo takes pains to console and comfort the king, even though the king is in a disconsolate mood. In fact, Gonzalo tries all sorts of methods to relieve Alonso's distress. For instance, Gonzalo says that there are people in the world who may have suffered even greater misfortunes than the misfortune which Alonso and his companions have suffered. Then Gonzalo says that the clothes which he and the other lords are wearing seems to be as fresh at this time as they were originally, as fresh as when they first put them on at the time of the marriage of Alonso's fair daughter, Carviel. Next, Gonzalo says that if he were the king of this island, he would establish an ideal society here. A society in which there would be no work to be done, by anybody and in which there would be no industry, no agriculture, no crime, no wealth, no poverty. He further says that in his commonwealth there would be no need for the use of swords or daggers or guns by any other weapon of the war. In his commonwealth, all the men and the women would be idle and the women would be innocent and pure. In this commonwealth of seas, says Gonzalo, there would be no sovereignty. Now, Gonzalo's description of his ideal commonwealth is certainly absurd. And critics have poured scorn upon this prescription. In the play itself, Sebastian and Antonio make fun of Gonzalo for having described a kind of commonwealth which is not at all a practical proposition. Actually, however, Gonzalo is not giving his listeners a description of a commonwealth which can really be established. It's not Gonzalo's purpose seriously to define an ideal state. He is merely trying to divert Alonso's attention from his grief by means of a description which is intended to amuse the king. Some critics have taken the description, this description to be a serious attempt at defining an ideal state, and some of them have gone so far as to suggest that this description is a satire on communism and socialism. Actually, we should treat this description merely as a witty piece of theorizing. His reports to Sebastian and Antonio. Another point to be noted that here is that Gonzalo pays no heed to the many sarcastic and ironical remarks which Sebastian and Antonio make about him in the course of his conversation. Gonzalo knows that Sebastian and Antonio regard him as a kind of boffin, as a good target of ridicule, but Gonzalo remains utterly indifferent to both of them. In fact, Gonzalo can meet these two men on their own ground and beat them at their own game. He shows his devastating wit by making a sarcastic remark about the flippancy of these two men. He says that these two men have such sensible and nimble lungs that they always laugh at nothing. When Antonio says that he and Sebastian were not laughing at nothing but Gonzalo hits back by saying that they both regard him as nothing and that therefore they should go on laughing at nothing, thus proving themselves to be fools, and then he makes the following sharp remark to them. You are gentlemen of brave metal, you would leave the moon out of her sphere if she would continue it in 5 weeks without changing. Gonzalo here pokes fun at these two men by saying that they are capable of lifting the moon from the path which the moon follows in course of its revolutions. A practical, glib-tongued man, Gonzalo feels as puzzled and baffled by the appearance of strange shapes who lay the banquet before him and as others are. After the shapes have disappeared, Sebastian says that he can now believe in the existence of even an unicorn of the phoenix. The Gonzalo says that if he were to tell the experience of there to the people in Naples, he would never believe him. A little later, he urges Alonso not to feel afraid of what he has seen and assures him that many stories are current about the existence of such strange creatures. Gonzalo goes on to say that when he was a boy, he had heard stories of the existence of people who had huge masses of flesh hanging at their throats. And he had also heard stories of the existence of men who had their heads on their breasts. Gonzalo says that such stories are often told by people who go on foreign travels after investing their money in projects yielding a high rate of interest. Thus, Gonzalo here shows his practical sense. Travelers do indeed tell stories of the strange experiences they have gone through and the strange people whom they have met. The tales told by these travelers are often very fantastic because travelers tend to exaggerate what they had seen. Gonzalo therefore rightly advises Alonso not to feel afraid of these strange shapes who had laid a banquet before them. Here it is also noteworthy that Gonzalo makes a substantial contribution to this conversation. He is by no means a reticent of taciturn kind of man. He is quite a glib-tongued in his respect wing with Sebastian and Antonio, both of whom are garrulous persons. His sympathetic nature. As already pointed out, Gonzalo is by nature a sympathetic man and he feels particularly sympathetic towards Alonso, even though he knows that Alonso had committed a grave injustice towards Prospero many years back. Now, when Alonso, Antonio and Sebastian feel stunned by the harpist denunciation of them, Gonzalo understands the situation. The three evildos are now feeling distracted and they walk away in that state of mind. Manjalana feels sympathetic towards all the three, and he also understands why they are feeling distracted. And therefore, addressing Francisco and Adrian, he says, all three of them are desperate, their great guilt like a poison given to work a great time after, how gains to bite the spirit. In other words, Gonzalo points out that those three men have been made to realize the crime which they had committed against Prospero, and that now they have almost gone crazy. He then asks Francisco and Adrian to go after them and see to it that they do not perform any reckless and desperate action. Prospero's high regard for Gonzalo. Later we find Gonzalo feeling miserable not only on his own account but also because of the distracted state of mind in which Alonso, Antonio and Sebastian have continued to be. At this time even Ariel's heart is moved by Gonzalo's miserable condition. Ariel finds that the good old Gonzalo is shedding tears of distress, and so Ariel reports Gonzalo's condition to Prospero, who assures Ariel that he is not going to punish the three evildoers beyond a certain point. When Ariel brings the whole party to Prospero greets Gonzalo warmly before turning to the others in order to rebuke them for the manner in which they had treated him 12 years ago. Addressing Gonzalo, he says, "Holy Gonzalo, honorable man, mine eyes have been sociable to show of thine, fall fellowly drops." Prospero means to say that after seeing Gonzalo's tears flowing from his eyes, he himself has also begun to shed tears. He further says to Gonzalo, "O good Gonzalo, my true preserver and loyal sir, to him thou I followest, I will pay thy graces home both in word and deed." Here Prospero prays a tribute to Gonzalo, saying that it was Gonzalo who had been instrumental in saving his life, and that Gonzalo is a loyal man who is devoted to his master. King Alonso, thus Prospero, has a high opinion about Gonzalo's character. A little later, Prospero again shows his high regard for Gonzalo, saying, "First, noble friend, let me embrace thine age, whose honor cannot be measured or confined." Prospero's high opinion of Gonzalo provides to us a real key to Gonzalo's character. His witty remarks about the boatswain at the end of the play. When the master of the ship and the boatswain appear before Alonso to report that the ship and the crew are perfectly safe and ready to sail to Naples, Gonzalo says that his prophecy with regard to the boatswain has proved correct. He recalls what he had said when the ship seemed to be on the verge of sinking. He had said that the boatswain had no drowning mark on him and that the boatswain was destined to die on the gallows. And here Gonzalo says, "I prophesied if a gallows were on land, this fellow could not drown," and turning to the boatswain, he says, "Now blasphemy that swears grace overboard, not an oath on shore." Gonzalo means to say that the boatswain had driven God's mercy into the sea by his profane oaths during the storm, but that now when he is on land, he is not swearing at all. Thus Gonzalo once taken makes pungent, sarcastic remarks about the boatswain, just as he had made sarcastic remarks about that man in the opening scene. Gonzalo says all this in a merry mood and does not have any ill will towards the boatswain. One of the finest characters in the play. Gonzalo is one of the finest characters in the play. We feel greatly drawn towards him because of his loyalty to his king. His deeply sympathetic nature, his cheerfulness in adversity, his wit and sense of humor, and his essentially religious nature, even his definition of his ideal commonwealth, does give no discredit. He is merely stating his idea of a commonwealth utopia and not defining a commonwealth which is feasible or possible, and in any case, he is merely indulging a kite flying in order to divert Alonso's attention from his grief and also to while always his own time. Sebastian and Antonio. They are snubbed to the boatswain in the opening scene. Sebastian is the brother of King Alonso, while Antonio is the brother of Prospero. We meet both of them in the very opening scene, where neither of them shows any nervousness in the face of the daughter which threatens to see. When the boatswain speaks somewhat heartily
To them, Sebastian loses his temper and rebukes him, saying, "A pox, oh, your throat, you'll..." In the same manner, Antonio speaks and rebukes the man of words similar to those which Sebastian had used. Addressing the words, when Antonio says, "Hank or hang you, whereson, insult noisemaker, we are less afraid to be drowned than thou art." A little later, Sebastian says that he is losing his patience because he doesn't know whether or not the sailors would be able to save the ship from sinking, and Antonio thereupon says that the ship might sink because of the inefficiency of the sailors who are drunk, and also because of the irresponsible behavior of the boatswain. Then, turning to the boatswain, Antonio says, "Would thou, my taste lie drowning the washing of 10 tides? Here Antonio rebukes the boatswain by saying that it would be better if the boatswain were to be lie drowned till his dead body has been washed 10 times by the flow and ebb of the tide. Still later, when there seems to be no hope of the survival of the ship, Antonio says that they should get ready to drown with the king. Whereupon Sebastian agrees with Antonio and says that they should go and bid farewell to the king. Antonio's past villainous conduct towards Prospero. From the talk and the behavior of Sebastian and Antonio in the opening scene, we find that both have a sort of understanding with each other, and that both of them are alike by nature and temperament. Both of them are categorical in their manner of speaking, but both have imperious natures. Both are the kind of men who would stand no nonsense from anybody and who would assert themselves in every situation. A little later, when Prospero gives a detailed account of his past life, Miranda, we learn that Antonio had behaved as a traitor and had undue advantage of Prospero's kindness towards him and Prospero's trust in him. Prospero had entrusted the administration of his country to Antonio because Prospero was himself spending most of his time in his study of books of philosophy and necromancy. But Antonio had made use of this opportunity to raise himself to a position of power and had then succeeded with the help of King Alonso of Naples in driving out Prospero from Milan. In other words, Antonio had deposed Prospero from the dukedom and had himself assumed the title of powers of the Duke of Milan. From Prospero's account, it becomes clear to us that Antonio is a scoundrel, and from this point onwards, we feel absolutely no sympathy for him. As Sebastian seems to be very intimate with Antonio and seems also be share Antonio's outlook on life, Sebastian also falls in our estimation. Their wit and sense of humor, their ridicule of Gonzalo. We meet the two men again when King Alonso, being under the impression that his son Ferdinand has got drowned in the sea during the storm, is grieving over his loss. At this time, neither Sebastian, who is Alonso's brother, nor Antonio shows much interest in Alonso's condition. Far from expressing any sympathy for Alonso, both men begin to talk in a light-hearted, in a flippant manner. They both seem to dislike the good old Lord Gonzalo, who is devoted to the king and who therefore seems to have alienated both Sebastian and Antonio, while Gonzalo tries to console Alonso in his grief. Sebastian and Antonio indulge in sports of making fun of Gonzalo. In fact, the two men make a running commentary on Gonzalo's remarks in order to ridicule him. At one point in this conversation, Sebastian says that Alonso himself is responsible for the misfortune which has befallen him. Thereupon, Gonzalo scolds Sebastian for aggravating Alonso's misery instead of alleviating it. When Gonzalo describes his ideal commonwealth, Antonio says the latter end of his commonwealth forgets the beginning. And Sebastian, speaking with reference to the same description, says that there would be no marriages among the people of that commonwealth. Then Antonio endorses Sebastian's view, saying that there would certainly be no marriages in that commonwealth, and that all the women there would be prostitutes, and the men would thus be free to have sexual relations with the women. When island with such perfection that the island would enjoy the golden age of his existence. Sebastian mocks at Gonzalo, saying, "God save his majesty," and Antonio also mocks at Gonzalo, saying, "Long live Gonzalo." However, Gonzalo is able to take his revenge upon these two scoffers by delivering a sharp sarcasm. We must admit that Sebastian and Antonio have a strong sense of humor and a considerable talent for making pungent and mocking remarks. Their sense of humor is certainly commendable, but their disrespect towards Gonzalo and their indifference towards Alonso's grief must surely be condemned. The similarity between Sebastian and Antonio. Antonio and Sebastian resemble each other in most aspects. Both are by nature and temperament scoffers and mockers. Both dislike Gonzalo, who is a good man, and both are ambitious. Sebastian's villainy and his ambition lie dormant in him until Antonio stirs these gallant traits in him, and then Sebastian too gets ready to murder his brother, just as Antonio had 12 years ago tries to murder his brother Prospero by exposing him to the perils of the sea and the sky. Sebastian deciding to murder his brother Alonso and then to seize the throne of Naples provides a parallel to Antonio's dislodging his brother Prospero and from the dukedom and himself becoming enhances the realistic effect of Antonio's deposing his brother Prospero. The villainy of one lends greater plausibility to others' villainy and also lends emphasis to it. But this man offers a sharp contrast to Gonzalo, who is a good man and who is loyal to his king. Treachery is something ingrained in the characters of both Antonio and Sebastian, and they have certain other traits in common with each other, such as cruelty, the lack of conscience, and the desire of self-aggrandizement. At the same time, they both have a strong sense of humor, and they both have a ready to beat. They have both villains, no doubt, but they also provide plenty of comedy in the play. Their wit and their sense of humor are certainly a redeeming quality in both. Francisco and Adrian are the two of the lords attending upon Alonso in the course of Alonso's voyage from Naples to the Tunis, and also on the return voyage. In other words, these two men are members of Alonso's retinue. Neither of them plays any part in the action of the play. Adrian only makes a few remarks, and they are very brief remarks. In the course of the conversation which takes place among the lords when Alonso is feeling grief-stricken at the supposed death of the Ferdinand, as for Francisco, he joins Gonzalo in comforting Alonso in the state of grief. Francisco tells Alonso that Ferdinand must be alive somewhere on this island because he had actually seen Ferdinand struggling against the waves of the sea during the storm and almost reaching the shore. Francisco asserts that he had seen for a courageous struggle against the stormy waves, managing to keep his powerful strokes of brave arms, had succeeded in touching the sea shore. Francisco concludes his speech with the following words: I not doubt that he came alive to land. Francisco, in his speech, paints a bright picture of Ferdinand's courage and bravery. Thus, Francisco does, to some extent, contribute to our forming highly favorable opinion about Ferdinand, and his opinion is subsequently confirmed by Ferdinand's own talk and behavior. But apart from this, Francisco also does nothing in the play. Both Adrian and Francisco may therefore be regarded as being only supernumerary characters. They merely add to the number of persons who are attending upon Alonso and who serve only to build up the loyal image of Alonso.